Check your calendars. We've already reached the halfway point of 2025, so it's time to do the Q&A, the Q&A every 6 months on the Pelador channel. Incredible, impressive. First question, the halfway point of the year is the 1st of July. Well, look at your calendar and see when this video is being posted. No, not around there, don't worry. Ibarra asks, Hector Leonel, are SRs going to be replaced by AI? Not necessarily, I mean, not all of them. I'm going to talk a little bit more about artificial intelligence, and I've talked about this topic many times on the channel before, but my thinking has changed a bit seeing the advances that artificial intelligence is making. I don't think so. There will always be work for engineering, for engineers, for developers, for SREs, but the work is definitely going to become more and more efficient, and that will possibly lead to less demand. In other words, you might not need as many engineers in your company. That has to be taken into account, and obviously those engineers who are going to stay in the company are going to be expected to do much more. I tweeted this recently. I said, in the same way that containers helped accelerate technology 15 years ago, today AI is accelerating even more every business that chooses to use it. If you're not using AI today, you're falling behind, and you should be afraid of being replaced. When I say replaced, I don't mean that you're going to be replaced by AI. I mean that you're going to be replaced by someone else who uses AI to do their job, because that person is going to be much more efficient than you, much more productive, and much faster. Quote, want to win a Raspberry Pi? All you have to do is try out the CAS AI client on a cluster. This free, lightweight, read-only agent installs with a simple script and will start monitoring your cluster right away. You'll get three powerful features. First, you'll get savings reports that show you how much you could save on a cluster with optimal instance type and size configurations. Second, the cost monitoring tab shows you the cost over time and organizes spending by tags, resource names, namespaces, and more. Finally, you'll get a security report that scans your cluster for vulnerabilities and prioritizes issues. Despite using automation, you'll still be in control. Just enable the policies you want and let CASI do the rest. It only takes 5 minutes to set up. At the end of the month, we'll randomly select 3 people who installed the agent to win a Raspberry Pi 5. We'll be shipping worldwide. Don't miss this opportunity to try CASI for free and find out how much you could save. And thanks CASI for sponsoring this video. Alejandro says, what was the most valuable thing you learned this year? I think using tools like Cursor, which I'm already preparing a video about. I think it's coming out next week or two. It's a text editor. It's basically a fork of Visual Studio, but it's designed more than anything to be used with artificial intelligence. It definitely changed the way I work, without a doubt. A while ago, I made a small service for Bits or for the company I'm working for. That service, 100% of the code was written by artificial intelligence. I mean, I didn't write a single line of code in that service, and it's a service that started from scratch. Yes, from scratch. I had nothing. And the artificial intelligence, or rather Cursor and its different tools, allowed me to not only write all the code, but all the documentation, the tests, everything. I did everything using Cursor. Incredible, really. Question Gino, do you miss working in a startup that's growing? You keep learning, using new tools. Let's see, I'm working in a startup. I mean, what happens is that now the line between a startup and a large company or a more corporate company is blurring. It becomes increasingly gray, right? I mean, there is no real division. Before, it was said that a startup was a company that moved very quickly, that had many teams, many microservices, and had to somehow reach large companies in order to attack them with features. Basically, the reality is that now all companies, or rather, most companies already work that way, that is, with containers, with many microservices, with many developers, they are all software companies, right? First and then a product company. So, obviously there are exceptions, right? If we go to the other extreme, right? If we go to IBM, Red Hat, obviously that's going to change a bit, but that's how everything is in those companies, or rather, not IBM or Red Hat, but putting a bank in there that perhaps has more rules for putting code into production and things like that. So, I'm sure that those companies have modernized a lot and are going to move much faster than before. So I think that any company now moves very similarly to what a startup. So, I don't miss working on that because I still do it. Jose Sakuda asks, have you ever implemented pipeline checks with Sneak? Well, for those who don't know, Sneak is a tool that allows you to find vulnerabilities in your containers. and I haven't necessarily used Sneak that I remember, but I have used other tools that are very similar, so I don't see much difference. He made a video with GitHub Actions a while back, another one that you would just use any tool to do a check, and there are many tools that do the same thing, so I don't think there's much difference. Augustin Mancia asks, did you ever get bored of being a senior? Did you consider changing roles? I believe that any engineer, any person who works in a company will always be evolving and not necessarily, let's see, define for me what an SR is for you. It's a person who is in charge of moving or enabling developers to move faster. Maybe I don't do it in the most technical sense of the word anymore, because maybe I'm not doing as many technical things as before, I'm not installing a server, things like that. But I still do the same thing, I mean, my position is the main one, SRE, I mean, I'm still an SRE, but maybe now with a bigger impact, where the job is more about finding things to improve at the organizational, communication, and process levels, and not so much at the technical level. But even so, I still do technical things because sometimes those processes that you want to improve require a technical tool and well, as I just said, I can code a service, right? In the same way that I did a while ago, Fairleva asks, have you seen the new sign in the warehouse? Well, for those who didn't see the video, I made a video here. Basically, there's a sign at a company near my house that had a typo in the URL. It said eldepositocitoso.com.ar instead of eldeposito.com.ar. So I made a video about fixing that, making a redirect. A while ago, they changed that sign, they put up a new one, with a new design, it doesn't have the website anymore. And the funny thing is that I met a guy at a conference here in Mendoza, who told me that he was in charge of the design, all that, and like the company had a talk about my video because they thought that I had hacked it, that I had done something wrong, let's say, and this guy had to go and explain to them. No, he didn't actually do anything wrong, he just made a redirect because it was misspelled. But anyway, it was funny that this information actually reached this company, and I'm not saying that thanks to that video they changed the sign, but let's not say that it's not like that because something they definitely took into account. Forte asks, how many slices of potato pie can you eat during an EKS cluster deployment? Very good question. I think you can eat about 2 slices of potato pie in a deployment if you do it from scratch because it has to start all the nodes and all that. It takes a while, so if you get into it quickly, I think 2% is enough. Now let's get to the YouTube questions. Daniel Dantor says, what's the current job landscape like from your perspective? Well, check out my video that I made with Gabriel, where we talked about all this, but I think, let's see, sorry for being repetitive and sorry for always saying the same thing, but I think that artificial intelligence is changing everything, so, it's good, and I think it's also making companies improve their hiring methods and adapt to these good times, new times, rather. So the job landscape is very interesting right now. Again, use artificial intelligence right now because if you don't, you're going to be left behind. The task below says, it's advisable to know a lot about a single tool and the rest little or little about many. Do you know how the market is for DEPs? It seems that there are few offers. Hugs to everyone. Quote, I think it's better to know a little about many things and specialize in one, depending on the company you're in. If a company needs to use a tool and you know a little bit, you can simply learn how to use it and that's it. And again, with the use of artificial intelligence, you can improve much faster. So it's always better to have a little experience in everything and don't get too crazy about which tools you have to know or not. The reality is that everything can be learned, and if you have experience, it obviously helps you and will surely help you win that interview. But if you're very good, if you're very curious and have good thinking, and you're intelligent, and you want to learn, and all that, they shouldn't fail you for not knowing a tool, because you can easily learn it. Joe146 asks, if you had to give any advice to a junior who is starting out in the BOBS sector, what would you tell them? Obviously, learn to program, use artificial intelligence to be faster, learn to be a developer, always think about the client. Think that the important thing here is that the developer and the client have to move faster, have to receive those features faster, and you, as the BOBS or as an SRE, shouldn't be the blocker, you shouldn't be a blocker. You should be an enabler, an activator of those features. If you've been in a company for less than 2 years as an SRE, they pay you relatively little compared to the market, but you're learning a lot, you stay and keep learning, you raise your head to look outside. Obviously, it depends on each person's situation, right? You really need more money. I mean, do you really need it because, I don't know, maybe you can't afford it, maybe you have to support your family, all that. In that case, I would look for it, I would try to look outside, but if you're learning a lot and you can hold out a little longer and you really think that it will help you, I think you should do it, staying at least a little longer. Well, the reality is that you can also continue learning in another company, right? So the idea of always looking isn't so bad. You always have to be learning, you always have to be connecting with people who work in other companies, and you go to conferences, you go to meetups and all that. You can meet people and tell them what you're working on, and maybe they'll tell you, look, we're looking for someone, and if you talk and it seems like this company is a good place to continue learning, we can move you. You always have to be open to changing jobs. Yes, and even more so if, as I see, you're junior or maybe you've been with a company for less years, it doesn't seem like a short time to change jobs. Sometimes I always say between 3 and 5 years or so is what's normally accepted to change jobs. Obviously, you can change sooner, you can change later, but I think that's fine, you're not that far behind. Jailbur says, this is more general, I've been learning to program for a while. Python, SQL, HTML, Kotlin. The thing is that I don't see where to go to get that first job that pays me the same as what I currently earn. What advice does this group of people give us? Freelance, part-time, full-time, options for finding that first job to start a career in the world of programming. Freelance, doing freelance things, yes or yes, it's the best way to gain experience, earn money and make contacts. That's what I was just telling the other guy. Start by doing freelance work. You start by going to sites like freelancer.com, Upwork, all those. It's going to be a lot of work. It's going to take you time to find that first job. They're not going to pay you much, but little by little you're going to find jobs that you like more, they're going to pay you a little more. You're going to start getting stars, let's say, on your profile. You're going to be able to charge a little more and, eventually, you're probably going to meet some of those people who will hire you and will hire you. Maybe offer a more part-time job. Yes, doing freelance work is always the best option to start. Yes, and if you have time and can do it, great. Because it will give you experience and will help you find that new job. Christian Guerrero asks, what would you consider when interviewing a senior SRE? Well, if I'm interviewing for a senior SRA, I'll probably use a tool to ask them technical questions. And there's a really good one called CoderPad. This video isn't sponsored by them, but it's called CoderPad. I'm going to put the page here, and it's good because you can do tests and the person has to do multiple choice or they have to code and all that, and you can see how they did it later, and that would be like a little filter to start with. Yes, there they probably don't know if they've already done exams. I imagine they have, I'm not sure, but you can use something like that to start, and then once I see their technical skills I would have an interview to ask them more about architecture. For example, I would say, if you want to design Twitter's infrastructure, what would you do? And well, I would start with a load balancer, well, all that. So, I would go more in that direction, a more design or architecture interview, do it spoken and do the technical part with an exam and that's it. Ruben Castellano, which is better for learning from scratch, Docker or Potman? It's exactly the same. I would go for Docker because it's more popular. Racing Soft says, lately I've been seeing a lot of hate directed at Dockernets, with gurus recommending against adopting it in companies due to its complexity. What do you think about it? I made 2 or 3 videos on the subject. I'll put it here. Watch that video. Basically, what I say is that Dockernets is very good. It's useful for many things, but at the same time it's very complex and requires maintenance and it's expensive. So, you have to reach a point where it's really worth using Dockernets, that is, the cost is offset, let's say, by the benefits you're going to get from it. I wouldn't start using Dockernets in a company from scratch. Alejandro Lopez says, how can I get a remote job for a foreign company like the United States, wherever? I'm from Spain, greetings. Same thing I just told you, start with Freelancer and the other one, obviously, go to LinkedIn and start applying for positions. Again, check out the video I made with Gabriel, which I think is really good. Kier Chase says, what's your favorite cloud platform for using cloud services? GKE, AKS, or EKS? Cheers, bro. It's helped me a little bit, it's helped me understand this sea of cloud services, a little bit. Well, I've only used AKS from Azure and EKS from Oz in production. I think EKS is superior. I think it already has a lot of BS, it has some really silly limitations. I remember having a chat with people from Azure and talking about the load balancers they have, application load balancers, network load balancers. I remember hearing someone from Azure tell me, you shouldn't use application load balancers, or I don't remember which one it was, because they don't work very well. He told me that and I said, that can't be what we're talking about here. That doesn't make sense. I don't think, I mean, I'm sure that person shouldn't have done that, but he told me, so, I don't like Azure at all. More than anything, the way you interact with the panel or with Terraphone, which don't work very well. Some things are kind of hidden, some things, but, you know, if you have the clergy, obviously everything will work, you won't have any problems, but I feel much more comfortable with EKS. I've never used GKE in production. Maxi Trommer says, where did the Dales come from? I don't like it. Yeah, the end of your video. I haven't seen another YouTuber who does it, and I think a lot of people stay until the end just for that moment. It would piss you off if someone copied you. Greetings Mendoza, and thanks for your Kubernet magic. And Ketting Coder responds, saying Vegetable Police does it. Very good, Karen Coder. Exactly. Vegetable Police is a YouTuber that I met because he has a camera channel called Kara Conspiracies, where he makes videos about cameras and all that stuff. At one point, I was really interested in that topic, or I still am. But at that time, I was doing a lot of research on all that stuff and I started watching those videos, and he has a second channel called Vegeta Police, where he talks about his health and his path to being healthier by being vegetarian, vegan, and other things. The guy is kind of crazy, he's kind of extreme, he's super conspiratorial. He thinks the earth is flat. He doesn't use Bluetooth devices because he thinks it'll affect his brain, things like that. But on that Vegeta Police channel, at the end, he says, okay, I don't like it, and throws away any fruit. I saw that a long time ago, I thought it was funny and I started doing it on this channel and it stuck, and that's why I did it. So, I copied that guy, and that I think a lot of people stay until the end just for that moment. I assure you that's not the case. In fact, most people stop watching. I can see it in the graph. On YouTube, you can see a graph of when people stop watching the video and when I say, okay, I don't like it, I see that there's a drop. I mean, people say, okay, bye, and they leave. I mean, it doesn't go up or stay the same when that happens. People just leave. But if we get to the point, the best way to end a video is to say, okay, okay, see you later, bye, and you leave. Because that way you don't give the person time to leave and the percentage of the video they watch is higher. But hey, that's life, and it's not like that on this channel either, because we don't care about metrics here, we only care that people learn. So, okay, that's all for today. I hope you learned something new. Subscribe for more videos. Like if you liked it, dislike if you liked it. If after learning that this part is very meta, this part, dislike is copied from another channel, you go to the other channel, leave a comment and say, hey, they stole this idea from you. Then that person reports me to YouTube, and YouTube sends a SWAT team and they break in through that window, and every time I go down and dislike it, they come and shoot me in the hand and my hand explodes. The thing went a little too far. So, well, I'll see you in a couple of months answering the questions. Oh, but it's not in December. It's not in December, it's in January.